Well, you know, it seems, you know, that everywhere you go these days, and whether it's gone shopping or you just went for a walk and you're having a talk with somebody, you know, the whole world is waiting. It's just waiting in all its dumb foolery, I call it, dumb foolery. That's all it is, to condemn us Christians for what? Guess what? Oh, you got to be careful being too judgmental. Being too judgmental? You know, that's the name of my message today. Judging. Judging. Oh, don't go away. Just stand by because I've got some news for you if you haven't heard it all before. But people have the wrong conceptions about judging and what the Scripture has to say. Let's have a short prayer and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to deliver this message. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, Lord, and I pray you'll give me the utterance I need. And I pray, Lord, that people who listen, their ears will be opened and unstopped, Lord, and that their minds will be wide open to what's said here today. Oh, Lord, it's so important, this message, because people just have the wrong imaginations about judging. Please be with me now, Lord, and be thou glorified. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Judging. That's it, folks. Judging. Look, on the streets, in the workplace, even at play. Well, we're sure to meet Satan's henchmen, armed and ready to pulverize the child of God for being judgmental. And how filled with enthusiasm they are about it, turning the tables on God's working class. Ooh. How often have you been told in no uncertain terms, we're not supposed to judge, or Christians should know better than to judge others? They expect you to be, you know, sure, that's cool, that's your thing, you do it, fine. No, I got nothing to say about it. That's what they want to hear. Oh, that's all right. But that's not all right, not in the eyes of God or the ears of God. How often you've been told in no uncertain terms, huh? Well, you're not supposed to judge. You can't judge me. Let's go open the book, the King James Bible. Let's open it to 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 1. The Word of God has plenty to say here about judgment. I'd just like to read verses 1 to 4, if you don't mind. Verses 1 to 4, 1 Corinthians 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against a brother, or not a brother, against another brother, that's another story. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? Wow. How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Who are least esteemed in the church. How often have you been told? Like I said, I hear it all the time. Every time I open your mouth, you say something about, well, God wouldn't be pleased with that. Don't you judge me. Who do you think you are to judge me? We're not supposed to judge, they say. We're not supposed to judge. Or Christians should know better than to judge others. You're supposed to be godly people. You don't go around criticizing others. Who's being criticized? You're not. We're not criticizing you. We're just setting the record straight. How it looks in the eyes of God, what God's Word has to say about these things. My friends, it's time. It's time to turn the tables on these pompous, self-righteous, barrack room extremists who pick and choose from the Word of God, but only for their own convenience. In other words, it's time to put a plug in it. A plug in it, indeed. Judges, judging, judgment. Well, it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 16, verse 5. Abraham's wife Sarai was despised or judged by his mistress after she conceived. And Sarah said, "The Lord judge between me and thee." The name of the child, you know who it was? Ishmael. Ishmael. A lot can be said about that, but that's not what this message is about. I want to focus in on the judging part. In Matthew 7, verse 1, we read, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." And Jesus said that in Matthew 7, verse 1. In other words, with what you judge, you shall be judged. If you tell another what they say or do is wrong according to God, be sure not to do likewise yourself, knowing it's wrong. Like, you can't go and say, you know, God wouldn't be pleased with you talking like that. And then you turn your back, you go someplace else, and you talk like that. That's wrong judgment. And God's not pleased with that. No, oh no. Whatever you judge someone else for doing, or criticize, whatever you want to call it, make sure you're not doing it yourself. Over in Luke 6:37, the book of Luke 6:37, we read, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." Jesus said that himself. "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." And if we look in John 8:16, Jesus uses his Father for a backup. And he says, "And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me." Oh, yeah. It's okay if Jesus judges. I mean, after all, he's the one that paid the price, right? In Romans 2:16, the Word of God says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." Paul wrote that in Romans 2, verse 16. My friends, if you're a King James Bible believer and you study the Word of God regularly, then you know, oh yeah, when someone says to you, you're too judgmental or you're not supposed to judge, all they're trying to do really is to ease their troubled hearts and minds. They know they're wrong, but they don't want to be told they're wrong. By the way, I have great difficulty in believing that one is truly saved who uses the judging trap to weasel out of or circumvent the truth of God. Yeah, I have great difficulty with that. Because a lot of people use that. You know, well, you guys go around, you know, telling people about Jesus Christ and how, what he did for us, you know, and then you go in and you start in this judgment stuff, you know, and then they get turned off, eh? Well, you know, you do have to use a little tact, too. You just don't go down, you know, and say, "Hey, you know what you're doing? God just hates that. Now let me tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ." That doesn't work too well. No, be more tactful. Jesus was tactful, but he was truthful. Don't forget he was only here for a short time. All right. Okay, now, for example, you tell a street urchin or a bum that drinking liquor is sinful in the eyes of God. Drinking liquor is sinful in the eyes of God. What's he do? Well, he rebukes you for being what? Judgmental. Judgmental. Most street bums know more about Scripture than some pastors. Oh, yeah. And you might be saying, well, what are they doing down there then on the streets? Being a bum, sleeping on the streets, begging. If they know that much about the Scriptures. Well, a lot of people know a lot about the Scriptures, but they don't live for God. The devil knows all there is to know about Scripture, but he doesn't live for God. Come on now. Now, okay. Let's see. Or you tell your girlfriend, here one now. You tell your girlfriend you're not going to the movies because it's a place of sin and no Christian should be seated amongst them. Right away, you're accused of being, what is it? Judgmental. Judgmental. You know, I think I went to one movie since I've been saved. Maybe two. I can't remember. But one for sure. And it was supposed to be like a Christian movie. But when they play a Christian movie, you know, in a worldly theater, you know, you got to be a little careful. Because there's some things that just ain't quite right in there. You know, anyway, what you get, for the most part, you know, when you sit in your seats and you know everything looks fine, people are mumbling and grumbling, but you know, you don't hear any bad talk really. But somewhere along the way in the movie or behind you somewhere, somebody goes and takes the Lord's name in vain or says something stupid that God would take exception to. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Huh? You going to get up and leave? After you paid X number of bucks to come in there? Or are you just going to pretend you didn't hear it? Well, God says, get out of there. You shouldn't be there in the first place. All right? I mean, that's not a Christian place to be. There's something amiss there. Now, you're seated in a restaurant. Okay, you got the picture? You're seated in a restaurant, and the foursome at the next table uses or takes the Lord's name in vain. What do you do? What do you do? Well, you can either speak to the person with the unrefined tongue, risking the possibility of a physical confrontation, you know what I mean? Or you can ask the waitress for a doggy bag on your way out. Now, here's another one. You're on a crowded public transit. Pretty hard to avoid in this world. And the talk you hear is abusive to your Savior. You hear people grumbling, you know, and saying this and saying that. Very unkind words. Well, what do you do? Ask him or her or them to stop or report the incident to the transit authority, as if that would do any good. I tell you, I'll give you one more. The list goes on. Oh, the list goes on. You're at home. This is the one I like. You're at home. You're watching TV with friends or family. When the dialogue and the picture becomes offensive to your Christian beliefs. Now, I didn't say to their Christian beliefs. I said to yours. Now, there's such a thing as being called a Christian and under conviction, and also being called a Christian without conviction. But you're convicted when it comes to the stuff you watch on your television. So, it's offensive to you. They took the Lord's name in vain. So, what do you do? What do you do? Now, what do you do as a Bible-believing Christian? What do you do? Without sounding judgmental, driving your visitors, family, and friends away. Well, you know, if my family and friends are going to leave me because I love the Lord And I don't like to hear his name turned upside down in the mud or this or that. Well, if they want to leave me, that's going to break my heart, but I can't help that. There's a name for that. You know what it's called? Persecution. And Jesus says, ye shall suffer persecution if you're going to live for him. You'll suffer persecution. No matter what you do, you're going to be judgmental somewhere, somehow, some way. Is that the way to object to sin? Is it the words you choose from the Bible? Is it your mannerism that turns people away when you talk about being judgmental? Or is it because you don't wear a black suit and a white collar? Well, the answer actually is none of the above. If you criticized or corrected someone, anyone at all, you had better be very diplomatic. Diplomatic. Diplomacy is a big word, you know, in our society today. You got to use diplomacy. But if you're doing so according to the word of God, it won't matter a pig's ear during these last days we live in. There was a day, you know, when the word of God meant something. People sat up, listened to it, tried to obey it. Today, the word of God doesn't hold any weight at all in most places in this world. Doesn't hold any weight at all. My dear brothers and sisters, if we are to hold fast, the Holy Scriptures and properly relate the Word of God to a lost and dying world, even down to your most loved and trusted friend or family member, then in these days, you had better have on the full armor of God. Oh yeah, you're going to need it, because those fiery darts are coming at you. Because when it comes to judging, even some of the most faithful will turn a deaf ear to you. And I've seen that happen. People I've considered as faithful or more faithful than I am. And if I say something judgmental that they don't like, they'll turn a deaf ear. Turn a deaf ear. In other words, they don't want to stir the waters. They don't want to get people upset. Wow. It hurts, you know. It really does. It doesn't matter one iota how saintly you are or try to be friends. Don't forget, this world is the devil's domain. It belongs to him. And believe this, he's got a stranglehold on it. Oh, yes, he has. And this you will definitely not want to hear. Those who condemn and criticize you the most when it comes to judging righteous judgment, guess who? Guess who they are? Those closest to you. That's right. Your children, your in-laws, your brothers, your sisters, and most of all, and this might pinch a little bit, your greatest supporter, or should be your greatest supporter, the one you lean on the most, your own spouse. Ooh, yeah, that really hurts. That really hurts. You know, the hardest thing in the world for a newborn Christian to do is to convince those who are the closest to him that his conversion is really real. Oh, you can't fool me. I know you. Don't forget, I knew you before you said you were saved. And I don't see a big difference in you right now. You still do things that you shouldn't be doing. You got to clean up your act, guys. You got to be extra careful around those who knew you the other side of salvation. And don't forget who's watching down on you and who's supposed to be indwelling you, the Holy Spirit, right? Well, let's turn in our Bibles to John, the book of John. Yep. John 16. Now, Jesus is telling the people of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Follow along. I'll read a few verses here. I'll start in verse 1. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit. All right? John 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Ooh. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way. I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So, when the Holy Comforter, the Holy Spirit, God's Comforter, comes and indwells you after you're saved, which he does, then what's he do? He convicts you. He convicts you of all the sin that's around you, that sin is plaguing you every day. When you make a mistake, he convicts you. You go, shouldn't be doing that. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit's job is. He's not just there to seal you unto the day of redemption, which is what he does, but he's there to convict you of the things you do that are not pleasing to God the Father. Okay? That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And if you're not judging properly, he'll let you know. Yes, he'll let you know. Okay, now, in conclusion, I will say this. Judgment is born out of persecution. You see, when people get judging, start judging, they do so because they are under persecution. Persecution. First comes the persecution, but only if you're walking with Christ. If you're not walking with Christ, you're not going to be persecuted. You're just going to be one of these lack-lazy Christians walking around with your head a little bit in the air, not doing a whole lot, really, but feeling comfortable in your so-called saved zone. Better check it out. You may not be saved. Oh, you know, there are two groups. There are those who are saved, and then there's those who think they are saved. Now, the second group, like I said, will suffer persecution. In Matthew 5, let's go to Matthew 5, 11 and 12, those two verses there. Matthew, Mark, backwards, Matthew 5, 15, there's Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. We'll go back here a little bit. I got my pages, they stick together, and my fingers, I don't know if yours are the same as mine, but my fingers, they get all stuck. Matthew 5, 11 to 12, that's 6 again. How come I'm stuck? Oh, here we are. Got it right here now. Okay? Okay. 11, verse 11. Blessed are ye. Listen carefully now. Talking about persecution. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Wow, them's two powerful verses. I love those two verses. I even got them memorized. Wow. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Then he says, "Rejoice. Be glad, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." What wonderful words, wonderful, wonderful words. You know, the greatest hoax that religion has spawned is never judge anyone. Never judge anyone. Now, because of this belief, many once foundation-based houses of the Lord, I'm talking about church buildings, have crumbled to the ground in spiritual defeat. Because people don't want to tell other people that it's wrong to do this according to the Bible in the eyes of God. Spiritual defeat. And the saved remnant, well, they've had to scramble just to find new shelters from the oncoming storm. I feel sorry for all the saved that get caught up in these foolish happenings with people who are too particular and fussy and don't like this and the color of the carpet and who painted your windows. Oh, man. Well, as for the remainder, well, those that are just not saved or don't believe what you're saying anyway, or think that you're just stepping out of line, well, they will believe the lie of the Antichrist and perish. They will believe the lie of the Antichrist and perish. Why? Because they bothered not to pass judgment even upon themselves. They were so hung up on not judging, they would not even judge themselves. Now that's something. "Oh, I'm okay, I ain't so bad." That's pride. These six things that God hates. Number one is proud look. Ooh. In Leviticus 19:15, we read, "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." Have they got that? "But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." How many of you out there would judge your neighbor face to face? Most are afraid of getting a good swat or a backhand beside the face. But you know what? God commands us to judge. Righteous judgment. Now, we just don't go to a guy and say, "You know what? What you're doing is wrong. You're stupid, you know, and you don't show any godly concern. That's wrong." No, that's not what we're talking about. We witness to them. We show love and kindness. We show God. We let the Holy Spirit lead us. And we show them where the world as a whole is stepping out of line when it comes to the Word of God. And if they ask you a question, "Well, I always thought that was okay," you can say, "Well, no, look, says right here in the Bible, we shouldn't do that." You're judging, but you're doing it diplomatically. You got me? "But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." Matthew 7, verse 1. "Judge not that ye be not judged." In other words, if you're going to judge somebody else, make sure that you're willing to be judged yourself when you do something wrong. Just make sure that you're not doing the same thing that they're doing, and you're telling them about it. Proverbs 31, verse 9 says, "Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." And finally, 1 Corinthians 6:23. Do ye not know? Oh, I love this. Listen good. I just love this verse. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Wow. Oh, that makes my day. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? It's such a wonderful verse. Just wonderful. I love it. I like to read it over and over and over again. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? You imagine? We can judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life if we can judge angels? Oh, my friends, I urge you, think on these things. Please think on these things. One judges that he is wrong. Another judges that he is right. But he that refuses to judge at all will have no hope. No hope. I want to thank you for listening. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.